Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep-sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Forever Dog.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast, Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. It is a podcast about scary stories told funnily by silly people who are friends. And it's not a serious ghost hunting podcast hosted by firefighters. It's the opposite of that.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is the spookiest time of the year. And so we often get new followers here, which is great. If you're new, welcome. And welcome. Also, this is primarily a comedy podcast poorly researched by two little dodos. And actually today, Anna, it is three little dodos.
That's true. Little extinct birds. It really is what we are. That's what I feel
because
like.
Because we have a guest today. We've reached back deep into the annals of our history, Anna.
We've reached deep into the annals.
To bring one of our oldest friends. I mean, a friend that we met virtually days after you and I first met.
Yeah, we were initiated into the same sort of fraternity together. Mm-hmm. The first week of college, we got onto college improv team. And when I found out I got on, I called my parents and was like, I think I might have to quit college to focus on this. I don't know if it's professional or not. And it turned out to just be a school club.
Oh,
but
boy.
That was the level of import.
I mean, and this is probably one of the most objectively talented people we know.
Yes.
This is someone who has gone on to perform on some of the largest stages in the world. And most recently, he's become something of a bit of a horror icon. You might know him as playing the Pale Man in this most recent season of American Horror Story. Here on the podcast is our good friend, Spencer Novick.
Hi.
That's
Spencer.
Him.
That's me. Him. I'm here. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Spencer, you're not only a friend of the pod, but also you are a real life sort of spook and haunt.
Sorry, my dog got caught on my headphones.
Erwin.
I know, Erwin. Yes, which is sort of like, I don't think I'm that scary, which is sort of a challenge sometimes, I think. Like, I think I'm a very sort of meek, I think no one's intimidated by me. I'm intimidated by everybody else. So I think it's been an interesting to be on the other side of that now.
Well, did you feel like people were scared of you when you were in your costume?
I don't think so. I think once I started getting into the character of it, then it was maybe a little bit spooky. But right. I don't know. Maybe they were, and I mean they're just too nice to say anything.
See, I don't know. Like, so if you don't know, everyone, Spencer is an incredibly friendly, funny, kind comedian, physical performer, clown.
He performed with Cirque du Soleil.
Yes,
okay?
on truly, I believe, the largest stage in the world, the MGM Grand Las Vegas. Is that
I don't think it's the I don't think it's the largest, but it is a very, very big stage.
It is, and the stinkiest.
I was very tiny on it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It
smells like absolute touted. Shit. Yeah. The most of the world.
But in addition to being like an incredibly funny performer, Spencer, you do have a skill for tapping into such a frightening physicality. And I don't know, like, when was the first time you feel like that was noticed? Like, because you were a comedy guy. Like, when was the first time someone was like, I want you to be scary?
You know, it might have been this audition.
Really?
It might have been. Oh, no, that's not true. I'm lying right now. I'm just a complete liar. I'm a stupid little liar. I had to do a stinky little liar. I had to do an audition in at NYU for a short film called Monsters Down the Hall. And that was probably the first time. But I'd always, you know, I'd been interested in the creature work. I mean, I love creatures in horror films, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of Doug Jones and the work he does. And right. So,
Doug
but
Jones
must have
was
been
the
that.
He was the sea monster in
yes
in what's it called, Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Billy Butcherson
he's in Pan's
from
Labyrinth.
Hocus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes.
Mr. Eye Hands.
Yes, Mr. High Hands. Yes, and he's fantastic, and has been like bringing all these incredible creatures to life.
I believe his character in Pan's Labyrinth, in addition to Pan, is called the Pale Man, Spencer. So you both,
yeah, oh yes,
Pale Man,
a pale. Yes, wow. Exactly. Wow. Yeah, that is true. He'd be a great person to have on this podcast.
Oh God, truly, the Pale Man is not the first way I would describe that character. I'd be like, yeah, you know the guy with eye hands. Got eyes on his hands.
I know
he's kind of pale, like sort of
he's very wrinkly.
Yeah, he's very wrinkly,
you know. The naked emaciated man with big eyeballs on his hands who eats children. Oh, the Pale Man. Yeah for sure.
Yeah, could have done better with the nickname. Spencer, do you believe you've ever seen or had a ghostly experience, or your cousin did, or someone told you about it that you believed?
I think every time I run up the stairs in the dark, there is a ghost behind me.
Whoa. Yeah.
But not really. I think that also might just be called anxiety. So I don't know if it's really a ghost or if I'm just very terrified of running up the stairs and assuming that somebody's chasing me.
Yep.
I mean, you're from a kind of spooky, like New England, Providence is sort of a spooky area, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think I was just saying this the other day that I had like this big glass entryway into my home. And so in order to get into my house, you had to go through this glass door, and it was a little holding area, and you could go to the garage side of the house or just like the living side of the house. And if I didn't have a key and I was coming home late, that glass door was always very terrifying to me. I always thought I'd like see somebody in my house who shouldn't be in my house.
Sure.
But I don't know if I've ever had like a real ghostly experience. Like, I don't think anything's ever, you know, fallen off my walls, or I've never had like the night demons.
Sleep
paralysis. You will. Yes.
Oh no.
No,
please,
it's okay.
No.
You will.
I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
I do feel like, Spencer, you have had some like real life terrifying human encounters. One time we were both living in New York, and you came to have lunch with me, and you said, I walked by this church and I got really startled by a woman who jumped at me and said, bumpity bump bump. And then you and I walked back in that direction, and you were like, that's her. That's the woman who did it. And you and I walked by fully expecting her to say bumpity bump bump to us. And then she did, and we both jumped. It was such an effective scare in broad daylight to jump at people and say, bumpity bump bump.
yes. I had another one too. Me and my friend were driving up Second Avenue, and we looked into, it must have been like after midnight, and I don't know where we were coming from or where we were going, but we drove past, I believe it was a Chase Bank on Second Avenue with like the floor to ceiling glass windows. Oh, there's something about glass windows. And I saw a man who was in a massive black trench coat who I assumed had completely painted his whole body white with massive eyebrows and a little black tuft of hair.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
And we were looking at him, and then he very sharply turned and looked at us, and it was terrifying.
And this was not at Halloween time?
No, I don't know what or who it was, but it was terrifying. It sort of reminded me of like a very, very tall, very, very pale Ernie. Like from Bert and Ernie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really scary.
Wow.
I mean, what's kind of wild about that too, Spencer, is it sort of is what your character looks like in American Horror Story.
Yeah, a little bit, without the tough
hair.
Yeah.
He's a real Nosferatu? Is that sort of the
reference? Totally inspired. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, kind of a talentless ghoul, which is very opposite to your type, so you really have a broad range.
Mm.
You're a talented ghoul.
Talented goblin. Trying to come up with, like, what is the opposite of a ghoul?
Oh, my God.
Spencer, what was that audition process like?
You know, I got a little breakdown of what I was supposed to do, which was, if I remember it correctly, it was sort of move, you know, start in stillness and then move jerkily towards the camera, hunting some prey, and then say, you know, I'm going to kill you. Oh. And that was the audition breakdown. And then I made a little video in my apartment. And it felt like I did those things, and I did them in sort of a scary thing, and then it got posted on the internet.
Ryan Murphy. Yes.
Ryan Murphy posted the audition, the tape.
So
yeah.
Cool. I also love, like, in today's day and age of at-home auditions, that you have to email the file. And I would have loved if you had emailed that to the wrong person.
I'm gonna fucking kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Jerky actor movements.
Yeah, to your accountant. Like, oh my God.
But I think also with that tape, like I didn't know if it was. I mean, I think that like doing scary things is very similar to doing comedy in terms of that. It's very subjective what is and what isn't scary. And I couldn't. I mean, I don't know if it's scary because it's just little me doing this thing.
It is scary.
It is incredibly scary.
And then my forehead is massive at the end. I think that was the most. That was the thing that I sort of took away from the tape. Was outside of being like, is this scary or not? I was like, oh my God, my forehead is so, like, I cannot tilt my head down. That is like, that is something I cannot do in real life. It's a huge turnoff. But I think that's mostly what I was dealing with the audition tape. I was like, everybody's seen my forehead now.
I think it's good. You got to show your forehead at some point if you want to make it in Hollywood.
I think it's a very good forehead.
Oh, thank you.
And then like the makeup process, because it's such a complete transformation from how you really look. Like, how long did it take you? to get into makeup?
You know, it took a bit of time. I worked with these like brilliant makeup artists, the McCashes and their team, Aaron and Mike McCash, and they are extraordinary. Like, if you get a chance, you should just, you know, Google them and look up their work, because they are amazing. Mm-hmm. It didn't take, I mean, you know, in the beginning I had to shave my head, so that was a whole process. Ooh. But then just the amount of detail they put into it, I think it took around like an hour and change, like around really? The hour mark, maybe a little bit more.
That's just like normal woman makeup. They're going to say 7 hours.
to turn you into a full undead monster.
Yeah. I had a lot going for me because I'm already very pale, I think. I mean, there were days where I was on set where I think I was supposed to be just getting progressively ill over the course of the character. And there were days where they were like, oh, we don't really need to do too much makeup. And I was like, oh, because I already look very ill, apparently.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it was sort of nice.
It did make me think when we were in college, Spencer, I believe you were visiting Kansas City and a person said to you, you kind of look like a model, and then paused and said, or like a vampire. And all the people there were with like, yeah, like a vampire. Like vampire, a vampire.
Yeah, definitely a vampire. Yeah. Yeah, that is a real thing.
Wait, hold up. No. Models kind of look like
New
vampires.
Year's Eve. Yeah, they do, don't they? Gaunt.
And when something I find when I don't scare people that often, but like when you're being scary at night towards someone, it's scary. Like you as the scare person is also, you run the risk of feeling scared. When you were like being scary at night on set, were you ever like, this is scary?
Oh, wait. When I was being scary at night on set?
Yeah. Were you ever like, I'm scared? Or were you just like, I hope I do this
scared
right.
Scared of so myself?
Or just like feeling scared. Like you were being scary and that's scary. I am Terry Gross. You know what? Like there are scenes where you're like running around in the dark and like being like scary guy. You were the face in the window too. It's interesting. You said you're scared of glass windows.
Yes.
You became your fear.
Except I would be the other person. Yeah, I know. And now I can empathize with scary people on the other side of glass windows.
Did you ever feel like I'm scared, or were you just like, I hope I don't fuck up the shot?
I think it was mostly, oh no, don't mess up. Let's just, I think, yeah, I was scared of messing up the shot.
A different kind of spooky.
Oh yes, my gosh. Exactly. Career.
But no, because you know, you're surrounded by so many like people, and you know, I think that's the amazing thing about TV and film is that you're like, oh, this looks completely different. Like it's amazing what can be created and what it looks like when it's being made versus what it looks like on TV.
How so?
Well, just like, you know, you're like, oh my God, you're like running around at night and you're chasing after somebody and they're all alone, but they're actually like 40 plus people around.
Right.
That is so wild. I mean, also like the fact that a big part of your character was terrorizing a child character and like, did they have to bring her to you ahead of time, or like, were they trying to make you as scary as possible to her? You know?
No, I don't know. It was really, no, she was a pro. We like sort of said hi before, but there wasn't, but I was sort of nervous about it. I was like, oh, I hope I don't, you know, right. traumatize Ryan, but you know,
was it like an orphan situation where she's actually 40, so you don't have to worry? Sorry to spoil the movie Orphan for anyone. We just got in a fight with enemy of the pod, Billy Domino, because we were going to watch the movie Orphan. He said, what's it about? And we said, oh, it's that she's old. And he was like, why would you give away the twist? Like, I challenge you to define the movie Orphan without saying exactly what it's about. First of all, second of all, it's like 15 years old. Anyway.
I mean, the other crazy thing, Spencer, is that your like closing thing is that you eat famed Drag Race contestant Yuriko O'Hara.
Yes. Yeah. Delicious.
Truly. I mean, opening you up to a whole queer fandom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the, because you had like fake teeth put in, fang sort of teeth.
Yes.
How, like, was that incredible? I mean, I guess you only had to sort of like hiss and roar so it wouldn't mess up too much of your communication.
But you can still, you're still capable of speaking with the teeth in. They do this incredible, okay, so the whole story with this is that, you know, in the beginning they had, you know, offered me this job and they were like, oh, we need you to go get your mouth molds made. And I am terrified. Like, I think the last time I had had a mouth mold done was at the dentist and I threw up all over myself.
No.
And I was so anxious. Like, I, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to get like let go if I can't do the mouth mold.
He barfed on the Hollywood dentist. You're fired.
So I ended up buying a bunch of cheap mouth molds from Amazon, filling them with peanut butter, and standing in my shower, practicing and dry heaving.
Special. This is the most.
I swear, this is what I did. And then, and I just was standing, just like dripping peanut butter from my mouth all over my naked form and inside of a shower. And I practiced for the days leading up to it because I was like, I have to nail this. I was like, it's time to level up, Spencer. It's time to level up. And then I went in and it was great. And I really, I'm, you know, so you got to practice these things.
Oh my God. This is what Spencer. They can't, this is what they'll never be able to tell people in acting school. That's what it looks like.
Best case scenario,
exactly.
The idea of you standing in your home with peanut butter drooling out of your mouth and you dry heaving is like the is like if you at like 18 on your first day at NYU like I'm gonna be an actor could like get a vision of that image.
I think you'd love it, Spencer. I think you were always ready for this. Yeah. I have to say, you're true.
I go the extra mile when it comes to not wanting to embarrass myself in front of or like dry heave and lose a job.
I'm just remembering, Spencer. So I've talked in this podcast before about my childhood boogeyman, who I called the potato sack man, who then I wrote a play about in college. And Spencer, you played potato sack man in a reading of that play.
I did.
So you kind of have this. I like to think that it is a just one of many steps leading you to your inevitable fame and fortune. You know,
it's I agree. You know, I you asked me earlier. You were like, have you ever had to do spooky things? And I was like, I don't think so. But then now, as I recount, I feel like I've had to do a lot of spooky things.
That's true.
Yeah. Spencer's very lanky. I don't know if we've said that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's helpful. It is very helpful. And when Spencer and Anna and I were in a sketch and improv group, Spencer would very frequently play animals. He once played the gremlin on the wing of the airplane in the Twilight Zone episode, which I really think is one of your star turns as well.
Yes, I agree. I can accept that.
I just remember you playing a lot of chickens.
Yeah, I think when in doubt, that was one. That was like a coach told me to do that, right? They were just like, hey, anytime you can't think of something to do, just, you know, become a chicken.
Really good advice for specifically only you.
Yeah.
I know if I did that, I'd be institutionalized.
On the subject of sort of Doug Jones, physical performance, body horror, spooky dudes moving spookily. We all just watched a movie together that was the only way to define it is spooky dude moving spookily. And that movie was Malignant. Oh my God. If you guys haven't seen it and you want to see it, go turn this podcast off and go listen to it.
Yes.
And watch it also. That's how movies work.
Listen or watch. Do both.
Do both or neither. But it so it's cut and Spencer, it was so funny watching it because the movie, it's where the bad guy is moving very herky jerkily and has like backwards joints.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which really reminded us of Tom Green as the backwards man in Freddy Got Fingered, which
Oh my God.
If you haven't seen that, pause this podcast and watch backwards man Freddy Got Fingered in YouTube.
After finishing the movie, we watched that scene on YouTube maybe 12 times.
It really makes you laugh. And it was cool watching the movie because Spencer, at some point you got up and looked at it and we could tell that you were like Cirque du Soleil performer, clown minded. Yeah. But you weren't even moving that much. It was just like when a ballerina uses their hands to like learn the choreography of the feet. Like you,
yes.
It was so fascinating watching a world-class physical clown try to figure out how to do that. If you had to coach somebody through doing the malignant body movements, what would you say?
You know, I think they did such, and I have no idea because I'd have to watch it again, but it felt like they did such a good job of like reversing when the performer was running backwards and when they were forwards.
Oh.
It almost felt like they were switching it in the shot. I could be completely wrong and they were always backwards, but it felt like they would shoot it half and half to constantly, like I felt constantly disoriented. As I speak about it now, I am disoriented about which way they were facing. Sometimes I was going, okay, they're facing forward. And then other times I was like, oh, they're walking backwards, but they're pushing their chest out and their arms are leading them behind their body. So it looks like they're walking forwards. If any of this makes any sense.
No, it does. It's so interesting.
To come to that revelation that is like the twist of your story and then being like, okay, we have to find a person who can like double joint their shoulders and everything backward. Like that casting call must be so interesting. Like is there like a big community of creature performers?
Yeah. Yeah. There is. There's a bunch and there's some incredible performers that just sort of know how to do it and how to be in a suit, like an insane suit, and do all of this completely blind. Because mm-hmm. so much of this work, you're in head to toe prosthetics.
Wow.
And so to be able to, you know, recognize what your body looks like without being able to see any of it is a very, you know, I think that's a challenging skill for sure.
That's unbelievable. I'm astounded by people like, and I forget so often. I love practical effects and I love when it's like a person in a suit, you know, it just makes it a more effective scare for me. And I think like what's such an accomplishment is when you forget that it is a person performing, that like someone is making this happen with their body instead of like through CGI.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Spencer, do you have a favorite scary movie creature?
I really love, you know, Doug Jones and Pan's Labyrinth. I think that is just, I think that work is extraordinary.
Yeah. I was watching like a mini documentary about the making of Pan's Labyrinth and just the like incredible amount of athleticism it takes to be in those suits. Like not only are they heavy, but the Pan costume, he's like on these stilts. Like it's such a wild thing to try to do.
Oh, wow. Know? Yeah, because his feet, he has like goat feet a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the amount of hours that you're in these, that you're in them is insane. You know, it's such a, it's a real marathon sometimes.
Yeah, the stamina. Like how many shows a week were you doing for Cirque?
I was doing 10 a week.
Oh,
10?
I was doing 10 shows a week. So we did 476 shows a year. Oh. But the thing that was really helpful with that is that you always like knew you had the schedule. Your body had adjusted to the schedule. But when you do, you know, film and TV, you have no idea what the schedule's going to be. You might be, you know, might be called in very late one night and then very early.
Right.
And that, I think that's challenging. I think that's
right. How long were you on stage for each show? Like, was it?
Oh, not that much. Maybe like 20 minutes out of the 20 to 20, maybe 20 minutes.
Still, maybe. I mean, it's such an incredibly physical. This is, are we allowed to say, Ka?
Yes.
Which is an amazing Cirque show.
No, don't say it.
Just hear a gunshot.
Yeah.
And what was the hardest part of Ka? Like, what?
The hardest part of Ka.
Or just like a specific choreo thing that was like the most challenging?
There's a scene in Ka where the wall, so the stage rotates and it's, I don't even know how to describe it. Like it's just a big stage that moves everywhere and it can rotate and become sort of, can lift all the way up. So it's vertical. And there's a scene It's called the battle scene, where the audience is watching a battle as if they're watching it from above. So they have like a bird's eye view of this wall that has shifted vertical. And we had to get into these harnesses, and it was this big choreography where it'd be zipping up and down the wall. And the thing that was challenging about that, that was actually very fun to do that. But, you know, some days you don't feel great, or you have like a little cough or some stomach, some tummy troubles. And then you have to like get into this inflatable harness and hang off the side of a wall. And that can be challenging. Like when you don't feel a little, when you feel like a little bit sick and you have to be like, okay, I'm going to go on this wall and do this thing like that. That's not fun.
It's like pressing on your stomach or.
Yeah, exactly. It's pressing on your stomach. And
oh my God,
that's hard. Yeah. I mean, like, look, you don't want to throw up. This is what it comes down to.
Exactly. I don't want it. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, this is a recurring anxiety, which I get. Spencer, before we close out this first half of this little interview, we were wondering if you'd like to join Anna and I in a little segment that we like to call
Scary Ideas for Things That Could Happen.
We just say a potential frightening thing that in some universe could theoretically happen.
Okay.
Andrew, do you want to go first or second?
I would love to go first. You have just installed some Venetian blinds on your back patio windows, and you're really feeling good about it. And just when you finish installing them, you notice that when you turn the blinds one way, it has a picture, like a beautiful meadow. But then when you turn them the other way, it's just a giant eyeball looking at you. And you thought, how did I not figure this out at the hardware store when I did it? But then when you turn the blinds to look at your backyard, you see that it's transformed into this beautiful meadow. And you walk outside. And then when you look back into your house, inside your own house, you see the giant eyeball looking at you.
That could happen. It could.
It could.
You can't say that it couldn't.
Right.
You can't say that. You don't know that to be true.
You really don't.
It could happen. I'm not saying it did.
Anna, do you have one?
Yes, I do. You are fishing on a little boat in the mist, early, early morning. And you think, I'm in the Atlantic Ocean. And then you think, no, I'm on a boat. The boat's in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm on the boat. And then you're like, what is this attitude? Why are we fighting? And then you're like, I'm not fighting. I'm just being specific. I'm not on the ocean. I'm on a boat that's on the ocean. If someone was like, where are you? I'd be like, I'm in the boat. And they'd be like, where's the boat? And then you'd say the Atlantic Ocean. And then a mermaid eats you. That could happen.
It really could. Sometimes you get caught in the language, and that's what a mermaid is waiting for.
They're waiting for a semantics-based argument.
Yeah. Spencer, do you have one?
Yeah, okay. I think I have one, yeah. Okay. You are in your kitchen, and you think to yourself, oh, God, my throat's a little dry. And you go, I'm a little parched. I should probably get, like, a little bit of water to unparch my throat. And you go to the kitchen sink, and you turn on the water. And you drink some of that water. And you're like, oh, that was good, but that's not enough water for me. And you keep drinking water because you keep getting thirsty. And then you're drinking a lot of water and you can't stop. And then the faucet doesn't turn off. And then you got to drink all this water that's coming out of the faucet. And then you start, you're going, oh, no, I have to go to the bathroom now because I've had too much water, but you can't stop drinking the water because you're so thirsty. So then your apartment's filling up with water and you just aren't quenching your thirst. And then you drown a little bit.
That could happen.
It could happen.
Truly, yeah. That's a great analogy for almond farming, you know?
This is from the perspective of the almonds. You're thirsty, but you're wet.
Yes.
You're thirsty, but you're wet.
Well, everybody, you're going to have to tune in on Friday for Spencer's story, which we can't wait to have him read. And until then,
get out
forever, dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @foreverdogteam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.